Okay, everybody can have a seat. This week, I started off like I did every other week, praying that God would use the Holy Spirit to give me the message He wanted me to deliver to you today. I got it. Never had a phone call before, though. A lot of you know, I work for the Greenville Health System. And my position in that, the health system owns about 6 or 7 hospitals. So I'm considered what they call a corporate employee, which means I work across the health system, not at one particular hospital. And there was a manager at one of the hospitals who she had the appearance and talked the talk of a believer. When she found out I was a pastor, when I was interviewing for the position I came in, I'm in right now, she was telling me all about the devotional she was reading and everything, and I didn't really exactly get the best feeling, but anyway, this past week was the first week I really got to work with her, and oh boy, I learned looks can be deceiving. Like Matthew 15:8, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart's far away from me. This person has a personal axe to grind with someone from another department. And is trying to get me and the people I work with involved. First, she used the strong pressure approach, which I love. I love someone bullying me, poking me, trying to demand. That works so well. What she did not realize was that kindness doesn't mean weakness. And I had to think about my response, because my first response was not going to be real pretty. Anyway, I haven't really talked about my boss much. My boss I work for is about 5 foot tall, and she used to play Snow White and Cinderella at Disney before nursing school. She is 5 foot of fury when you get people aggravated, when people mess with her bear cubs. Anyway, she gets involved, goes all Cinderella and Ninja on the person, backs up. Later on that same day, same person approaches me again, same manager, and it was already awkward. I'm 6'4", I weigh about 280 pounds, and Snow White was taking care of my business for me, but sometimes you have to let practicality go before pride. You have to be practical about these things. Anyway, she sends me an email asking for, she wasn't asking for 6, she was asking for 6. So she bullied me at first, tried to. Then she assumes I'm dumber than a bag of hammers, which probably not far off, but so by then I'm in an excellent mood. And I have no problem calling Snow White back out again. They have another discussion, and then finally, same day, I get a phone call. On my cell phone, I'd given my cell phone number out to a specific OR manager who gave it to this person. Changed it up, though. She was so sweet, I thought I was going to need insulin. She explained the entire situation in her opinion, and it wasn't personal at all. I just hadn't looked at it right. I kind of felt, for those of you that know soul music from the 60s and 70s, I kind of felt like Tina, and she kind of sounded like Ike. And it was just a love tap, baby. You know I love you. Had to get Cinderella involved again. And turns out I'm going to be the UN, a neutral observer in this place. My boss tells me I'm supposed to be Switzerland. That Wednesday, I felt like Beirut. And it was, I prayed about it, and I asked for guidance with it. And I want to make sure the truth's revealed, not opinions. So I'm going to be doing these audits, but it'll be strictly by the book. And whatever's found is whatever will be found. To have someone aggravated me or have the truth come out, which can affect an entire department, I know which one I'll do. And I just, whenever I started thinking about that and I prayed about it, and I was wanting to make sure the truth was revealed, I was thinking, there were some journalists I wish would pray for that too, but I guess that's another sermon. And started thinking about the way this person was trying to manipulate me. that it was, this is one sample in one life. I'm sure all of us have times where someone, a family member, a coworker, schoolmate, even a complete stranger comes up and tries to manipulate or trap you by doing one thing or another. And they prey on all these different weaknesses, or not really weaknesses, but things that are actually real character, real good characteristics. I'm not big on psychology today, but I found a really interesting article on manipulative people. 9 signs. First one, they lack insight into how they engage others, or they truly believe that their way of handling situations is the only way just because it meets their needs. No other responsibility, but because it gets them what they want. Manipulative people do not understand the concepts of boundaries. They're relentless in what they're doing. Like my buddy, you will. You're dumber than a bag of hammers, and now I'm going to try and make up with you. All in the same day. A manipulator avoids responsibilities for his own conduct by blaming others for causing it. Manipulative people prey on our sensibilities, our emotional sensitivity, and our conscientiousness. They know they have a good way of hooking you in a relationship because you're kind, feeling, caring. If you want an easy way to discern manipulators from empathetic people, pay attention to the way they speak about you, others in front of you. Manipulative people love triangles. If they're talking about somebody else, they're talking about you. That same phone call, that person tried to insinuate something about Snow White. That was not good. And how many times have you been at work or at school and so-and-so comes up to you? You see Joe over there? God, he's not like you. You just know what you're doing. And I guarantee you, they're talking to Joe about you. And never waste your time trying to explain who you are to people who are committed to misunderstanding you. There are some people, and I've had this situation in the past, I'm sure others have too, where you just try to, you think that maybe they just misunderstood and you try and explain it to them, and they don't care who you are to begin with. They're all about getting what they want. Is it ringing any bells for anybody? And if the individual put as much effort in being a good person as they did in pretending to be one, they could be a good person. And examine what you believe. This type of person instinctively preys on doubt. I got to reading through God's Word, and even after all these centuries, it's still so relevant in today's world. It's a living, breathing organism. It changes for what we need, but it stays the same for what? It stays the same, but it can also adapt to what you need. And I encourage everybody to read Scripture every day. Read it or listen to it. Verse, chapter, whatever you can fit in. If it's on a page, on a screen, or by ear, take in God's Word. And it's also just as important to pray about what you read and pray about our lives. Some people will read the Word to justify or cover what they do, like the person I was telling you about that read the devotional. And while some people read it to show them what to do, some people use it as an excuse, some people use it as a compass in this foggy, foggy valley of a life, because it is. And you will see me talk about it regularly. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Daily honest prayer, doesn't have to be fancy, and diving into the Word. And like a balanced diet, you need the right amounts of these spiritual foods. You can pray all day long, read the Bible all day long, but if you don't accept Jesus, don't do anything. In John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man enters to the Father except through me." There's no room for interpretation for that. To go to heaven and spend eternity with God, you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. There's no other way around it. Otherwise, you're going to end up looking like some of these guys in the Scripture that we're getting ready to cover here. This is part of Jesus' ministry. He'd gotten popular by this point, And the Pharisees went and plotted together on how they might trap him and what he said. Anybody ever been to the, ever been in a situation where somebody walks up to you and you feel like you're the Roadrunner in a Roadrunner coyote cartoon? That they're springing the trap on you and they're waiting on you to say one thing. Well, the Pharisees weren't by themselves. And the Pharisees, I know we talked about them a lot in April, they were with a group called the Herodians. Pharisees, members of a Jewish sect, and they believe in the law of Moses, but they believed in their interpretation of it. That it may say this, but this is what it really means. Ever worked with anybody like that? The Herodians were a non-religious Jewish party. They supported the dynasty of Herod and the Roman government. So they were status quo guys, and Jesus messed that up. A lot of times they fought against each other, but today they were together, and they were trying to trap Christ. And they thought they were pretty clever. And you ask why? They grew to hate Jesus for many reasons. Mark 15:3, the chief priest accused him of many things. They were angry with him for upsetting their laws because they got really rich off their system. The temple system, they made a lot of money off of it. The temple changer, the money changers at the temple, the people that sold the animals, the temple got a cut of it. Kind of like if you sell at a festival, sell food at a festival, and that people that run the festival get a part of it. Same thing with the temple. And they looked down on him because he ate with sinners and associated with those that were deemed unclean. They considered themselves religious people and they didn't want to associate with some people. Most of all, they hated him because he claimed to be from God. And as time went on, he dared to make himself equal to God. That's why they hated him. And they couldn't recognize his divine authority. They spent their entire lives looking at Scripture. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Malachi, all of Zechariah, all of these books and more, Daniel, predicted the Son of God. They predicted him right down to where he was born at. Right down to how he would come into Jerusalem, and they ignored it because of their arrogance. And they sought to kill him. And jealousy had to play a part as well. They weren't given the eyes or the faith to believe that Jesus could be the Christ, the Son of God. And then they sent their disciples to him and they tried to butter him up. Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God. They're trying to play on his pride and vanity. And pride and vanity gets into trouble sometimes. I've had it where my quarter mouth has overloaded my nickel rear end at times in my life. And I thought I was a little bit more than what I was. And pride can be our greatest enemy because it makes God our enemy. We're meant to be humble. And they can be back doors for Satan to come in and work through us. Our pride is an open door for that. And when we look at Jesus, like in another part of Matthew, when he was tempted by Satan after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, how did Satan tempt him? Through his pride. You have the ability to be able to turn these stones to bread. It is said in Scripture that the angels will not let you have a single bruise on your foot. Pride. And they're trying it right here to use his pride and vanity. Satan wanted Jesus to embrace his ego, then surrender to the Father. Jesus kept coming back with him to Satan with quotes from Scripture about dependence on God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Jane Austen said that vanity and pride are different things, though the words are often used synonymously. A person may be proud without being vain. Pride relates more to our opinions of ourselves, vanity to what we have others think of us. And I think our opinions, what others think about us, can sometimes drive us to do things. that we wouldn't normally do to just, because we all want to be liked. Most of us have an internal instinct that we want to be liked by the crowd. And sometimes that puts us in the bad situations. Like you think about what our teenagers are going through right now. Good night. They're seeing all these Photoshop kids that look nowhere near like they look in real life, doing things they don't need to be doing. They're pressured 24/7. Instagram, Twitter, all of these things are pressuring these kids. And adults, we're by as bad. We get on the same social media. If we're not careful, we end up to fit in doing things that we know in our hearts we shouldn't be doing. Bible's pretty clear. When Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. They try to go a little bit further and tell us, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not? They got flattery to get him in. Then they were trying to reel him in. And now they were moving in, trying to manipulate him into saying what they wanted him to say. And what does that say about their pride and vanity? And how many of us can relate to what's happening here? People trying to hurt you or use you with your own words. And what did Jesus do? He knew in their hearts from his godly nature. But we can improve on how we listen to people, though. We listen to understand before we reply. James 1:19 says, "Then you know, my beloved brethren, but that everybody be quick to hear and slow to listen and slow to anger." The last part I'm still working on, but I'm trying to get a little bit better about listening before I come back. God's word is still relevant. That verse above. Wisdom and discernment are two gifts we need to pray for each day. And I find that myself, it's took me a lot of lessons to learn that. That I felt like maybe I was being arrogant or prideful or greedy to ask for wisdom or discernment. But through the years, I've learned that I'm not. That those are spiritual gifts and God wants us to have those. That just helps us do what we're supposed to do for God better. If we have discernment in what's in people's hearts and the wisdom on what we need to do. Because you can have people that are super smart and not have a bit of common sense. There's a researcher in Japan that crossed a spider monkey and a jellyfish, and you have a monkey that glows in the dark. You do. Very smart, but what are you going to do with a glow-in-the-dark monkey? Man's given intelligence. I think we have to pray for our wisdom. Some people are blessed with it. Some people we have to ask for it. There have been times in my life I've been on both ends of that. I hadn't had any common sense, and in times I've had to give people common sense. And God's word says a lot about wisdom and discernment. And discernment is perception in the absence of judgment, with a view to obtaining spiritual direction and understanding. Knowing what's in someone's heart, knowing what they're really thinking, you may not be judging them, but you need to know. So praying for wisdom and discernment. King Solomon is considered one of the wisest men that ever lived. He asked God for wisdom instead of riches, and God blessed him with both. Prophet Daniel explains that all wisdom comes from God. As he wrote in Daniel 2:20, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might." Proverbs 3:13, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." And in James 1:5, James tells us, and this is the half-brother of Jesus, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it'll be given to him." Jesus knew what was going on with them. "Why are you testing me?" There are times we know when somebody is trying to set us up, you can feel it. You can just feel it. You can see it. Again, I go back to the Roadrunner and Coyote. Free bird seed. And there's a boulder up on the cliff. You can figure it out. Why don't we do something where this happens? Sometimes we do. But many times, we think it's easier to go with the flow and avoid potential conflict. Have you ever just went with something just to try and keep the peace? How long did that work out till you eventually had a bigger blow up than what you would have had to begin with? What happens when we are continually used by someone, manipulated through time after time through the years? Loss of self-confidence, resentment, anger. There's so many things. And what's that doing to the inside of you? And sometimes you just have to put someone in their place. Kind of like what Jesus is about to do. He told them, show me a coin. And they brought him a denarius. A denarius was a coin used for the tax money at the time. Romans weren't real. They didn't want to try and change anybody as much. Be quiet. Give us what we want. And we're going to leave you alone. They did require some things. The denarius was a silver coin. And it had the face of the emperor on it. When he, I think I have a picture of it here. And at the time, it was Caesar. It was Caesar Augustus. And the Jews didn't like it because they thought God's image needed, that image was like an idol because there was emperor worship in the Roman Empire. And that was forbidden by the second commandment, thou shalt not have any gods before me. If Jesus had said yes, he would have been defying Jewish law. They could have got him there. If he says no, the Romans would consider him a revolutionary and they could have had the Romans get him. And they would have crucified him, killed him. That was not his time. And that was not to be the reason why. And he told them, whose likeness and whose inscription is this? And they told him, well, it's Caesar's. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And hearing that, they scratched their head and they went away. Perfect trial. It really was. Yes or no? But Jesus didn't follow that. God a lot of times doesn't follow human understanding. That his idea may be different. And usually his plans are better than our dreams. He didn't choose yes or no. In explaining what he said, he was drawing a line between two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of this world, and Caesar holds power over it, but there's another kingdom that's not of this world, and Jesus is king of that. So many times in the New Testament, even some of his disciples misunderstood why he was there. To help establish that heavenly kingdom. Not get rid of the Romans, but establish that eternal kingdom. The Romans came and went. We will come and go. God's kingdom is forever. Forever and ever. We're part of both kingdoms, at least temporarily. And under Caesar, they had certain obligations that involved material things. If we don't pay our taxes in Anderson County or Abbeville, wherever you live at, you don't pay your car taxes, things are going to happen. Unfortunately, it's a reality where we live at. One kingdom. And we're very good. Most of us are really good about doing that. Under Christ, we have other obligations that involve eternal things. And if Caesar demands money, give it to him. Money is something in the Old Testament and the New Testament is referred to as mammon. Mammon is an Assyrian god of wealth. Money is a necessary thing. It's also something that gets you in a lot of trouble. Money will come and go. Jesus demands more. God demands more. Caesar minted coins as he had a right to, and he demands some of those in return as he had a right. His image was on there. It's his picture. God has minted the human soul. And he stamped his image on everyone. We are made in God's image. Part of the Holy Spirit's in all of us. So we want to give Caesar his due, the temporary stuff of this world. But I know for myself, I need to, this kind of got me looking, am I giving God all his due? Everything that I need to be giving him. Offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as the instrument of righteousness. Paul said in Romans 6:13. The Pharisees and their buddies thought they had had the perfect trap, a way to kill this innocent man. They tried to pull his strings and get him to fall into it. Didn't work like they thought, though. Jesus used his wisdom and his discernment to overcome their treachery and manipulation. And maybe there's somebody here who's listening to this or will be listening to it on a computer, and they're tired of being used by someone else or being used by circumstance. We're going to go to prayer in a moment. And as we close in prayer, I'd like for people to look in their spiritual mirror. Take a good, healthy look at what you actually are seeing. Whatever storms in your life, can't stand up to it till you're down on your knees. I've tried. I've been beat down. And the strongest I've ever been is whenever I've been on my knees with my hands crossed. Prayer works. Prayer works against manipulative people. God will give you what you need to understand and see. Problem is, sometimes we're like Lazarus. When Lazarus was raised, he still had on those death clothes, and he was just fumbling around, just wrapped up in all that old sin, all that old things that had just, to me, it was representative of what in a person's life, that they're forgiven, their prayer's been answered, but they can't let go of the things they had. Get those clothes, get those death clothes off, unwrap, come out. God wants to forgive us. He wants to use us. He wants to be part of our lives. He knew we were coming. We are the reason he's here. He didn't make us to be used by somebody else. He made us so he could use us and work through us to be his hands and feet. And there may be some who have either not accepted Jesus or you've accepted him and fall away. It's okay. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine to him. We'll dine with him and he with me." If I can get everybody to stand, please, let's pray to God for wisdom and discernment. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, this is not our world. This is a temporary world. You are using it. We come to you, Father, for wisdom and discernment. Father, we come to you to help us recognize when someone's trying to use us or trap us for bad purposes. Father, if we're going to be used by anybody in this world, we want to be used by you to work through us. Look inside us, Father, every single corner. Change us. Make us who you want us to be, Father. Work us. Work through us. Use us. Father, guide our words, our hearts, guide our thoughts. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. The altars are open.